Well, let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 25. The word of the Lord says, therefore, he says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you're going to drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor and spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Verse 30 says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Verse 31, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning in the house of the Lord. I want to speak this message this morning. A simple title. It just asks the question of this. Why worry? Why worry? I want to ask you to be honest this morning for the next few moments that we're going to spend together. I want to ask you, is there anybody in this house that you are a worry wart? Anybody a worry wart? All right, we've got one that raised their hand and they're being honest. Okay. I'll halfway raise my hand with that and say, yeah, I'm there with you also. I'm with you there also. You know, it seems like people today we worry all the time. We worry about the smallest little things in life. We worry about the simplest little details in life. We worry about something so minor that in our minds we make it so big. We make it so gigantic that it's something that we have no clue how we're going to make it through this, and how we're going to get through the next day, and how we're going to finish the day that we are in now. Whether it be making preparations for an event or something minor that occurs during the day, we find an excuse all the time about something to worry about. And that's the truth. We worry. We worry about, you know, the smallest thing, but little do we know that saints of God, that worry steals our joy. And that's what you've got to understand. Worry steals away our joy. How are you supposed to enjoy anything when you are constantly fretting and worrying about it? Think about it. How are you going to ever enjoy God's blessing? And all you ever do is just worry about every little thing. Worry, worry, worry. You know, Jesus tells us, do not worry about what you eat. Jesus says, do not worry about what you're going to drink or wear. Then he asks this great question, who among you by worrying can add one single moment to their life? And that question, I put it out on a promotional video this week, and I asked that question when I read that. It really hit me, and I got to thinking. I said, woe is me. Woe is me, because the truth is we worry ourselves sick. We worry ourselves stressful. We worry ourselves to the doctor's office. We worry ourselves to the point of having to take medication. We worry ourselves all the time. You see, the problem with worrying is that it doesn't really accomplish anything. Think about that for a moment. Worrying really doesn't accomplish anything. Even more than that, worry keeps us from focusing on the things that really matter in life today. And it does. It puts a blinders on your eyes where you're not able to see God's blessing, where you're unable to see what God has done in your life and what He's wanting to do and the doors that He's wanting to open and the opportunities He's wanting to share with you. And you're not seeing anything because you're constantly worrying. I think that's why Jesus was so adamant that we not worry. If we're worried about the food, how are we going to ever enjoy time with our families? What are we going to eat today? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. There needs to be a restaurant that is called I don't know. We go through this weekly. Well, you've got Italian, you've got American. Then we break it down and we say, then you got pizza. Then you got chicken. Then you got Mexican. And you got more Mexican. And a few more Mexicans. Then you got hamburgers. Then you got, what do you want? I don't know. I don't know. And after a while, it's a moment of being stressed out. And I'm just trying to be polite, and it's frustrating. I say, well, if you don't know, I don't know. And then we kind of go at it. Don't act like you don't do it, you bunch of hypocrites. We go at it, and we're at each other's neck because it's a time that we worry. We worry all of a sudden. What are we gonna eat? What are we gonna do? You know, it's the truth that we're worried about food. If we're worried about food, how can we enjoy time with family? If we're worried about, you know, I've heard somebody say this: I just don't want to go out in public anymore. I'm scared of the crazies that are out there. I don't want to go to events anymore because I'm worried about terrorism and I'm worried about this. Listen, how can we ever go to the store if we're worried all the time that some psycho is going to come out and do something crazy? It's just something that we miss out. We make ourselves miss out. I just take Jason Floyd with you. He lives for the moments that will ever happen. He's prepared for moments that will ever happen. Listen, some of you, you're so worried about getting out of church on time this morning, beating the other churches to the restaurants. I've already heard it from people. Well, it's amazing. When we go into restaurants, other churches, they're already coming out. So what? We had a move of God. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they did. I don't know. But people get so worried. Some of you are so worrying right now. You're wondering, I've got so much to do today, and I've got to get this done, and I've got to get that done, and I've got to hurry up and eat. Listen, how do you worship God truly when you come in here already worried, already stressed out? If you're constantly stuck on the negativity that worry breeds, how can we see, how can we know, and how can we appreciate the countless ways that God has blessed us? How much less give thanks to God for all the things that He's done for us? We can't do it when we live in a life of constant worry. Worry. I remember a song when I was a kid that came out. It said this: don't worry, be happy. Yeah, somebody, you already know. Don't worry, be happy now. Oh, that was a time during that. It was a fad during that time. But now that we're getting ready to say goodbye to 2019 and we're about to enter into 2020, can you believe that?
It's amazing, man. We're almost there. We are a generation and a time we worry more than ever before. And we've got more things in our hands and the ability to have communication and technology. And we're blessed with so much, but still we worry more today than ever before. You know, I think one of the greatest curses to worry one of the greatest cures to worry is constant praise and thanksgiving to God. I began to think, and I said, Lord, I said, you know, I worry about things. I worry. I'm one of those that I overthink things sometimes. And I'll be honest enough to say it. I remember Kimberly and I, we went to a Rangers game one time and they were shooting fireworks and I could not enjoy the fireworks because we had some really great seats and we were sitting down pretty close. And I leaned over to her and I said, what if a fire started right now? And thousands upon thousands of people were trying to get out. We're toast. Where do you go? Where do you run to? We're done. I think I'm the one that thinks in a big coliseum during a concert or a ball game. I think, what if? Lord, you're just going to help us. And that's the way people live life sometimes. They're thinking, what if this and what if that? I've got a checkup. What if they find something about me? And constant worry takes place right there. Before they even go, they have a constant worry. What if they find something in me? What if something is wrong with me? We do that with our family. We do that with our kids. We do that in the church. We do that with God. What if the worst case scenario, we're constantly worrying about stuff. Listen, God is our source and provider and the giver of all, every good thing. And we can't forget that, saints of God, that God gives us every good thing. As a matter of fact, I read an individual named Alex Haley, an East Tennessean, and was the author of the book and movie The Roots, had an unusual picture hanging on his office wall, and it was a picture of a turtle on top of a fence post. When asked, why is that there? Alex Haley answered, every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and think that they are so wonderful, I begin to feel proud of myself and I look over to the turtle on top of the fence post and I remember that he didn't get there on his own. He had help. He had help. I want you to hear me this morning. And I'm not going to keep you long this morning, but I do want to share with you and tell you that, saints, God has blessed us richly in every way possible. God has blessed us. We have all that we need because of God. We are here because God has brought us here. We are blessed because through Jesus Christ, God's amazing grace has poured out over us. Hear me, we have so much to be thankful for. We've got so much to be thankful for, yet we are more worried and distracted than we are thankful. We worry, and yet we've got so much to be thankful for. It's so easy for us to get caught up in worry, to fret, to be distracted by the troubles of the world. It's so easy for that to happen. One of the greatest mistakes of life is to turn to God only in overpowering emergencies or shattering crises. As a matter of fact, it's so easy for many of us to curse God. It's easy for us to blame God when a catastrophe strikes our home. When something bad happens to us personally, it's so easy for us to point fingers at God and tell God, God, you've abandoned us in our greatest times of need. But yet listen again to the words that Jesus is telling us this morning. In Matthew 6:26, look at the birds of the air, saints. They do not sow or reap or store away in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Can any of you, by worrying, add one single hour to your life? The answer to that is no. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. And we walk around every day of our lives worrying. Worrying about what we don't have. Worrying about how this is going to work out. Worrying what the doctor's report is going to finally say. Worrying about how God and when God is going to do this. And when God is going to prepare this. And when God. Do we not understand that God is in control of it all? Of everything. See, the truth is this. Jesus knows our worries. He knows our worries. Jesus knows that there will be times in our lives when we will feel as if he's not taking care of us. Jesus knows there's going to be times in our life that we will get frustrated at him. And so Jesus says, in an essence, he says, look around you. You see the birds are fed. You see the beautiful flowers are growing all around you. God did that. God did that wonderful thing. And if God will do that for you and do that for the plants and do that for the animals, God will most certainly take care of you too. Amen? But still we walk in just constant worry. Constant worry. You know, we make mistakes. We make mistakes. We make poor decisions that separate us from God. But still, God's grace extends to us. We ought to be thankful for that today. Still, God loves us. And God still wants the best for us, even in our mess ups. That's how he loves you. That's how much he loves you. I feel somebody this morning, you've come and you feel like that you're unlovable. Somebody in this house this morning, you feel like you messed up beyond what God is able to do for you. And you feel like people are looking at you and God is looking at you in a different way because of what you've done. I want to tell you something, that you can't do enough that God still doesn't love you. You can't do enough. His arms of mercy and grace are always extended out to you. He loves you. He wants the best for you this morning. He wants the very best for you. Always by the grace of God, we have all that we need. And it's not as if we deserve God's blessing, because we don't. Where would we be without the help of the Lord? Without the goodness of the Lord? Without the love and the faithfulness of the Lord? Where would we be today? See, we can try to live without the help of the Lord, but it really is an impossible assignment. It really is. It truly is. So I thought about this morning, Thanksgiving. We're celebrating this week. Thanksgiving is a perfect time for us to set aside our worries. This week, starting today, is a great time to set aside all worries, because by being intentional about giving thanks to God, we are forced to focus on everything good in our lives. So I want you to think of that as a challenge. Sister Annette gave a challenge last Wednesday. I'm giving a challenge today to set a worry to the side. Set worry to the side. You remember several years ago that I handed the bracelets out and I did a challenge about if you're negative, if you can go for, I think, like 7 days or something like that without being negative and put it on one wrist and try to go the whole week without being negative. And if you're negative, you take it off and put it on the other wrist, and the week has to start all over for you. And some of you were switching it on the wrist before you even walked out the door. It's because that's kind of, we're prone to that. We find the negative about everything. We worry about every little thing. But I challenge you today to put a worry to the side and be intentional about giving thanks. And let it force you. Let it force you. Say, you know what, I'm not going to worry about this, but I'm going to look at what God has blessed me with. And I'm going to look at and force myself to see the goodness of the Lord. Maybe, yes, I may have some things going on in my family, but you know what? Find the good about it. God has blessed you with a family. Yes, he may get on your last nerve. And yes, she may get, but look at the good that God has blessed you with. My child, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what? You better be thankful your child is healthy and they're here today. Well, my car keeps giving me problems. You know what? You've got a car to drive and you've got a place to get you from point A to point B. Well, my house is just not what I want. Yeah, but stop worrying about everything right now and thank God for giving you a place of a shelter. Amen? We've got so much to be grateful for. So much to be thankful for. Well, my health is not the best, but you're here. You're here. You've got breath in your body this morning. You're here. You know, practicing Thanksgiving, not only once a year, but every day can help us grow in our relationship with God. It needs to be a lifestyle of ours that we can practice and say, you know what, I've got two choices here. I can worry and I can be negative about this and I can be stressed out about this. Or I can thank God that he's given this to me. It's a choice. It's something that you've got to reverse this in your mind. Thanksgiving not only once a year, but every day can help us grow. It can help us see how richly God blesses us. And it can help us to forget about all the worries and the fears. And imagine with me for just a moment. Imagine with me. What does it look like to the world when we as believers are constantly running about worried about this and that in our lives? What does it look like to the world? What does it look like to people that you're trying to win to the church when all you are is just walking around worrying all the time, negative all the time, never looking at the positive at all? What is that saying to that family member that you're hoping that God's going to save one day and all you do is run your mouth? God help us. I'm not going to ask for forgiveness for that. I just want that to marinate in you for a moment. Think about it. Those people that you love so much and you'd love to see them in the church house, but all they hear from us is a constant worry and constant bickering and constant complaining. What does that say to them? What does that say to them? I know what it says to me. I want no part of what you've got. So we need to understand there was a woman who was busy trying to get out of town for a few days and to get away. And in the midst of her preparations, there was some unexpected doctor visits that came up. Trying to fit those into her already busy schedule only raised the anxiety level in her life a little more. And she was nearly at the breaking point. Anybody ever been there? And she had stopped thinking rationally. Instead of looking for solutions to the setbacks she was facing, she was more busy making excuses about why nothing was working out in her life. And so what was happening is it was a domino effect. One thing went wrong and that made everything else go bad too. Does it sound familiar? Yes. Yes, because this is so many of our lives here. It's not unique. We all get this way sometimes. We all can understand that through busy life and busy schedules that we can get overwhelmed at times. But it's always important that we look and say, but God has been good. Look at what God's blessed us with. Look how God has blessed us. Yet we are people of faith. Think about it. We tell people we're people of faith. We're people who believe that God works in all of good in all of our lives and the world all the time, even from the worst of situations. That's what we're telling people. Do we really believe that? If we say absolutely we believe it, then we've got to stop this constant worry. Stop this constant, is God really going to fix this? Is God really going to do what his word says? Is God, listen, I've come to the time in my life and believe this, either God's going to do it or this whole word is a lie. Which one do you believe this morning? You really believe God's going to do something? Do you really believe God's going to provide for you? Do you really believe God's going to protect you? Do you really believe God's going to take care of you? Do you really believe God's going to see you through every storm that you go through? Either yes or put this book away and let's lock the doors and let's put our time and our effort towards something else. That's what it comes down to. You've got to believe. You've got to believe this morning. Is he really who he says he is? Is he really going to take care of me? Or am I just going to constantly walk around in this life of worrying all the time and wondering, is God? Is God? John the Baptist even got to that time in his life where he sent a word out and he said, you tell him, is he the one or should I look for another? Is he really who he says that he is or should I look for another? Jesus sent word back and he said, you go tell him that I said, the blind will see and the deaf will hear and the lame will walk again. And blessed is he who does not get offended in me. Blessed is he who does not walk around worrying and stressful all the time. Blessed is he that knows that my word is still true today. Blessed is he who looks around and says, you know what? God has been good to us. God has blessed us today. So when things start to get bad, rather than drowning in worry, we need to lean upon our faith and say, I still believe. I still believe. We need to remember that God is with us, that God wants good for us, and he will help us through even in the most difficult times of life. Then we need to take time to thank God for giving us this relationship that sustains us through the good times and through the bad times. I want to tell you, people will fail you. Man will fail you. That one that you put the most trust into and you think they'll never let me down, I'll tell you this, they'll let you down eventually. They'll fail you eventually. But God will never leave you. And God will never forsake you. That's a relationship you can take the check to the bank. You can take it to the bank and know that God's word is still true. And one of the best ways to show our gratitude to God is by telling others about God's goodness. You know how it is when something great happens in our lives, we want to tell everybody. We want to tell everybody. I got engaged. Man, we want to spread it around. We want to tell everybody he asked me to marry him. We want to tell everybody, look, me and my spouse, we're gonna be parents. Oh, we got the test. Here's a little peanut. Yeah, look at the pictures we posted. We're so excited, man. We're so excited. Oh, God bless me with this. God's blessed me with that. And we get so excited, we tell everybody. You know how it is. Something great happens. We want to share the wonderful news with everyone we know and perhaps even people that we don't know. We just want them to know because we're so excited. This should not be less true of God's blessings in our lives. But what do we do? How are you doing today? Really don't want to know. No. You're blessed. Tell them how blessed you are. Tell them what God has done for you this week. Tell them how God has blessed your home. Tell them how blessed you really are. God's blessing actually, it should be even more true. Man, we should tell people we know. And even tell people we don't know. I'm closing, but I want you to hear me this morning. There was a man who served as a medical missionary. Hear this story this morning. He served as a medical missionary for many years in India. He served in an area where there was a progressive blindness there. people were born with healthy vision, but there was something in that area that caused the people to lose their sight as they matured. And this medical missionary developed a process that would stop the progressive blindness. So people came to him and he performed his operation, and they would leave realizing that they would have become blind, but now they're going to be able to see for the rest of their lives. And the medical missionary realized something, that the people, when they left, they never said thank you. They never said thank you to this medical missionary, because that phrase was not in their dialect. That phrase was not in their language. They didn't know how to, the words to say thank you. They didn't speak like that. So instead, they spoke a word that meant this: I will tell your name everywhere I go. There was a word that they shared and a word that they would say. And they told this medical missionary that, and meaning that I'm going to tell everybody I come in contact with, I'm going to tell them about you. I'm going to share your name and tell everybody that you're the one that has cured me of this blindness. They received something so wonderful that they eagerly proclaimed it. I want to ask you something this morning. Have we not received something so wonderful that we need to eagerly proclaim it? That we can eagerly proclaim it. God has been good to us. He loves us so much. And if we really want to thank God, we just can't keep wonderful news on the inside of us. We have to go and tell the name of Jesus to the world. I believe very strongly that the cure for anxiety and the cure for worry is thanksgiving. I really believe that this morning. I believe that the cure to depression and sickness is to be thankful for what you've got, and to proclaim it and to tell others what God has done.